here. Are we clear? Clear for liftoff. Take off. For making reverberations. Are we affirmative? No negatory. Come in, come in. Radio, what's your story? Ayahuasca kilo. Well, you will go. Are you ready for a better Echo Victor? Feeling wider than awake. Yeah.
Welcome to Faith Matters. You are listening to Invincible by Eddie Vedder. It's one of my favourites. That's why I have it on at the beginning of the show. I've got Denise in the studio, and it's a exciting day and a sad day. Well, exciting for Denise because she's heading overseas. Sad for me because I'm going to lose her for 3 months. But not all is lost, because I will have her on air where she's going at times. So we're going to tune in and find out about different parts of the world, what's happening over there. But, yeah, we're going to get organised in here. We're going to talk about some of her blog and some God convos, I'm sure, in between. In the meantime, let's carry on with some good sounds.
We all bleed the same.
Woke up today, another headline, another innocent life is taken in the name of hatred. So hard to take. And if we think that it's all good, then we're mistaken. 'Cause my heart is breaking.
Tell it, DC.
Are you left? Are you right? Pointing fingers, taking sides. When are we gonna?
Clothes they're wearing, or the color of their skin. Are you black? Are you white? Are we all the same inside? Father, open our eyes to see.
We all bleed the same. We're all beautiful when we come together. We all bleed the same. So tell me why.
Hope when the crowd screams out, you
screaming your name. Hope if everybody runs, you choose to stay. Hope that you fall in love and it hurts so bad. Say they all add up.
Sun shining in the window.
So nice in here when the sun's shining, eh? It's so good.
I've been in Hamilton all morning and it's still foggy over there. And as I came up the divvy to come back home, cloud, 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 reached the top of the divvy. Oh, yeah, here we go. Back to sunshine.
It's amazing. When I worked in Hamilton, I used to leave here and the sky would be blue and I'd get to the divvy and it was just, oh, my gosh, and I'd be freezing. I'd have to take two lots of different clothes with me. And coming home the same, but that's the beauty of living in Raglan. Aren't we blessed? Mm-hmm. Oh, this makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into one of Denise's blogs here. This was a really good one this week. There's so much to unpack in all of this. Acknowledging our differences. How do you think? Good question. She's got a picture here of a couple of feet with two different pairs of socks on, both wearing socks, but one's different than the other. And that's a bit like life sometimes. We can kind of represent the same, look the same, or come across as the same, but we can be so, so different underneath, and we can really miss each other and how we communicate, because some of us are thinkers and feelers, and some of us are goal-orientated and some of us are less goal-orientated. I've forgotten what that word is that's supposed to be there. Structured, unstructured, there we go, that's a good one. And some people might be thinking, what is that all about? What is structured and unstructured? Well, does Myers-Briggs cover that?
They don't do structure, non-structure so much, no. But it's more, they have the sensory versus the intuition, thinker versus feeler, and perceiver versus judge, which is a bit more goals or not goals.
Yeah, so some of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S, Briggs, is a personality test. You can do this online, you can look it up. There is a free one, it'll give you the basic overview, but if you want to get really intense, you can pay for the full version, and it'll for you and your partner. Might be an eye opener. Sometimes when we do those kind of personality tests, we can figure out why we've been missing each other.
Yeah, actually, we did the Myers-Briggs test years ago, and apparently some of the personality types, you can have like 10% of the population or 12% of the population kind of come under that particular personality type. Well, my husband and I, we're a 1% and a 2%. We're like, oh, that explains a lot.
How long have you been married, Denise?
25 and a half years.
There we go. It works, folks. If you can figure it out, you can still do a relationship, even if you're at the crossroads.
The poor guy.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about those differences?
Well, yeah, so my husband is somebody who's quite goal-orientated. So, like, when we used to go on holiday when we were sort of newly married, his idea of an awesome summer holiday was to sit down and do a strategic plan for you personally and as a couple and as whatever else he could think of. It was sort of like goals for the over the course of the year, but the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, and to set goals like to, so you're working towards whatever this
if
thing
you
was.
Could see Denise right now, her eyes are getting wider and wider.
It was like a nightmare.
I'm thinking this is great. I know exactly where we're going.
Yeah, he loved it, and we probably did that for, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10 years, maybe not as long as 10. I don't think we lasted that long, but oh, it was just so, so stressful for me. It's not that I don't plan, but I don't plan like that. And, yeah, it was
okay,
quite
so I'm going to pause you. When you say you don't plan and you don't plan like that, so how do you plan?
I do plan. I do plan. What do I do? I just, when an opportunity comes up, I'll go yes or no, and then I'll kind of make sure that happens. I'm the sort of person who, if I say I'll do something, I will. Yeah. So I more wait for opportunities to come along as opposed to
my husband.
So
you're a short-term planner?
Well, see, some of the, like, okay, another slight difference is the type of patience. Like, I have a long-term patience, so I might have an idea in mind that might be a long-term future goal, but I'm not going to push towards it and make it happen, whereas that's the way that my husband operates. He's like, well, if you want it to happen, you better make it happen.
Right.
So I'll have an idea. Like even with cooking, you know, I know what I'm making, but if I get halfway through the recipe and it's not quite looking how I thought it would, I'll add a couple of bits and pieces, whereas my husband will follow the recipe.
Wow.
Okay. And then if it didn't work, it's the recipe's fault.
Yeah, true that.
So it's just completely different ways. So we've sort of potentially got the same end goal, but our ways of getting there are quite different, which is fine when you realise that each other are different. You go, oh, yeah, cool. But, oh, my goodness, some of those early years where we hadn't figured that out yet, it was kind of like two heads butting against each other.
Yeah, you kind of miss each other. I think I'm a bit that way. I know it as structured or unstructured.
Yeah.
I'm quite structured. I like structure. But I can. I don't mind just going ahead and doing something too. But I must admit, I do like a bit of structure around. Whereas my husband, not so. You know, if it was came to holidays, he'd be like, "Yeah, we're going on a holiday. So where are we going? Where are we going to stay? What are we going to do? What's around that district?" He wouldn't have a clue.
Yes, well, see, yes, and that's probably a difference too. Like, so we went away last year, and I had planned the first three nights accommodation, and then I thought we'd just wing it at a particular part when we were doing a walk, and the rest of it I'd got it all organised. But you know, when we got to the end of that 3 days, he took over the accommodation planning, and he just got us planned right through to the end, because I was just like, oh, by then, you know, we'll have an idea and we can just figure it out. And he's just like, yeah, no, let's book it. So that was great. And then when the kids came and joined us, we had hired car for 9 days. We were all together, and like, I had the accommodation booked, but what I didn't realise was that you really needed to book car parking. And so, like, we're trying to fit into these narrow little medieval streets to find a car park. Also a little bit stressful. And the kids are like, what on earth? It's like, what? I planned the accommodation. I know where we're going. Like, why do we have to have these details?
The finer details maybe a structured person would pick up.
Yeah.
So we were going to look in this blog and part of this. And I really do encourage people to have a read of this, because there's so much in here. We were going to start at what it was like for you being invited to a fundraising dinner?
The charity dinner.
The charity
That's
dinner.
That's pretty normal for us. That's pretty much a standard night out. That's the only time we do go out. Other than family functions.
I've never been invited to one of those. Okay, but there you go. And in this dinner, I guess there were people there that knew you, Denise, and there were some people there that didn't know you, and one of those people, one of those persons that was there was somebody looking for funding that night. Is that correct?
No, well, yeah, she might have been. I can't remember the details of whether she was involved with the charity or not. I can't even remember what the charity was. But her husband was a real estate agent, and I think they were sort of there in a networking kind of mindset of who could they connect with. And she didn't know me from a bar of soap, and she just absolutely ignored me. She looked me up and down and went, yeah, no, you're not going to be what I need. And I was sitting next to her, you know, those like 8 or 10 seat round tables. And she literally, like, she put her elbow on the table and turned her head completely so she was facing the other direction, wouldn't engage with me at all, was so rude. And it was hilarious because there was all these other people at the table who know me and know my husband. And my husband happens to be a businessman in Hamilton and happens to be sort of in that construction-y area. And so as far as this lady's husband being in real estate, you know, there was actually quite a lot of opportunity there for her to connect. But she had decided I was not that person. It was hilarious.
I think that's interesting how people take us at face value. I don't know, does money have an aroma to it? I'm not sure how I'm meant to say that, but, yeah, we do have these pictures of what things look like or how people should look if they are in that kind of higher level, I guess, of money or whatever it might be, and how we can tune out of the ones who are the real givers or the ones who have that heart and maybe not look the same. You know, straight away I'm thinking about Jesus now.
Ah, there you go, linking it back.
I do. It's amazing, eh? We can have this face value opinion about people and never really get to know them because we kind of push them away right at the beginning. And yet the story unfolds a little bit, Denise, because there were people at that round table or people who knew you there, and they were kind of smiling because they could see what was happening.
Yeah, it was so obvious. Everybody could see what she was doing, and everybody who could see it was fully aware that she had missed judged this situation.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? These opinions that we make about others. So I wonder what would have happened if she had dropped her maybe judgments and had met you where you were, what she might have found out about you that night and what connections they could have made for each other. And I guess, you know, there I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the Jesus talk.
Go for it.
Because I guess, you know, in many ways, culturally, he was shut down from getting to know many people, or many people would not have known him simply because of who he was and how he challenged, I guess, the concepts of the day, you know, challenged how we treated each other and how we allowed people in or not. Mm. And there's so many stories that come to mind. You know, I think about the Samaritan. I don't think that's the one. The woman at the well.
Ah, yes.
Where Jesus was moving through to another town.
Yeah, he was walking through Samaria.
Samaria, what the word was. Yeah, not Samaritan.
Well, she Samaria. Was a Samaritan, but she wasn't the good Samaritan. That's a different story.
Yeah, and this culture group that they were meant to pass by, basically, Jesus stopped in their town and went to the well, and this woman came out from her town to go to the well to gather some water. And the story that I know, many women came out and would travel together to go and get their water, mm-hmm. but this woman travelled on her own. And the story that I know about that was because in her community she had had many husbands and was kind of an outcast because of they'd all died.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But anyway, she'd had many, many husbands and she was considered an outcast. So the women didn't invite her in and excluded her. So not only...
And the man that she was with at the time wasn't her husband.
That's right. And the man they weren't married. Mm. So I don't, what was going on there. But she walked to the well on her own and Jesus was there the time that she got to the well. And she he asked her to pour him, to get him some water out of the well. And she was in shock that he'd even talked to her because those two cultures didn't relate to each other. I don't even want to say what it might look like in today's terms because I just find that so wrong. But I can go to this story and say, well, she was who she was, and I guess for Jesus to talk to her was almost like somebody talking to somebody beneath them.
Mm.
You know, but he certainly did talk to her and he told her many things about her husband's and her lifestyle. And she walked away from the well after her encounter with Jesus, a totally different heart response. And when she went back to the town, the people, you know, she went talking about Jesus and who he was and the impact on her life. In that small encounter that she had with him. And it changed that whole town simply because of who she was and the impact of her story and her encounter had such a resounded through that place. I'm not sure why. You might shed some light on that, Denise. Light on that one. Why she made such a big impact.
Well, I wonder if it's, I mean, as she went out to the well by herself, she was an outcast, and the fact that she ran back into town to tell everybody her story, you know, the shame was gone. You know how we've sort of talked about when we're in Jesus, there is no, you know, he takes shame, he takes, there's no condemnation kind of, you know, bad, bad, bad. And so I guess with all that lifted off her shoulders, people were just like seeing the change in her and just went, oh, my goodness, what has happened? We've got to go out and see.
Yeah, what made this change in this woman?
Yeah.
The part that I really like is that, you know, Jesus went across all cultures. You know, the people he wasn't meant to speak to or engage with, he did. And I guess that's had a huge impact on my life when I think about the nature of who he is and how he responded to people. And I often take that visual that I have, I guess, of him and try and overlay that in modern times. You know, what mm-hmm. does it look like today? Yeah. And it can really stretch us, I think, to engage with people that we feel or think are beneath us or above us, which is more even more interesting. I kind of like that yes. one these days.
Yeah.
Or speak a different language than us, or have come from a different background and don't speak the same language as us. There's mm-hmm. lots of things that can stop us from engaging and having relationship with other people, yet the story, and that's only just one story in the Bible of Jesus, you know, going somewhere where he was not really meant to go because culturally it wasn't acceptable.
Mm.
And how do we challenge ourselves these days? You know, if I think about your story at the table and how you were responded to, I guess if you had been wearing something that was quite flashy or looked kind of businesslike or had a lovely big diamond on you. Have you got any diamonds on
no,
you? No,
no
diamonds.
The main diamond not a real fell one. Out of my engagement ring a few years ago. So I don't wear it anymore.
Yeah, I've got one of those rings. You know, if you had something on that was an indicator that you were kind of, you know, a big part of the funding people that were there.
Mm.
But you didn't have anything on to as an indicator, and yeah. the judgment was very quick.
But I'll tell you what, when she found out whatever information I dropped for her, her mouth was hanging open, and she was like, her husband was in a conversation beside her with somebody, you know, further around the table, and she was whacking him, like, on his arm, like, you've got to be talking to this woman. It was the funniest thing, and everyone else at the table was just watching this play out, and that's when she switched. She went, oh my gosh, there's something in this for me, and from that point on, she's always been lovely to me ever since. I've seen her a few times since. I don't know her well, but that suddenly, when there was something in it for her, boom.
I guess the lesson to learn out of this one is that it is a round table and other eyes see. We're never alone, really, are we?
Mm.
And people will see attitudes, or they will see our judgments. And it, so it doesn't just affect you, Denise, in this picture. Yeah. It affects so many other people, a bit like that woman at the well. It didn't affect just her.
Mm.
It affected the whole community, you know, the change for her. I mean, the stories are quite different. But the impact we can have on a person by including or excluding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we're going to a song with
that one. Profound, Marie. I'm quite impressed.
Well, me too. Here we go. Might be a day of impressions.
Living life in color. Everything around me looks so beautiful and sweet. Heavenly desire. Everything so bright, it's like a brand new movie scene. All the immersive colors, picture perfect, vibrant, gamer's paradise. And the world keeps going round. Inside me, the world is lighting up, lighting up. Ooh, oh, let all the immersive around me, colors, picture, perfect.
to a city I cannot see. Through the depths of the valley where the sun can't reach. I've been high, I've been low. I've been looking for the river that could fill my soul. Been walking to a city I cannot see.
So you're listening to Faith Matters. We've got me and Denise, Marie and Denise on today. We're just chatting about differences and, yeah, it's a good one because we're all very different and we can have a reaction to our differences too. We can engage with people in their differences or we can push them away and not allow them into our lives. We were talking about Denise's blog and just an experience she had at a fundraiser. And so I thought you could unpack that a little bit more, Denise, about what that was like for you and your experience of that and how you dealt with that whole situation.
Yeah, well, I think we got probably carried away in telling the story before without going into any depth in it. But I could – obviously it wasn't a reflection of me because she didn't know me. So that was one point. So, you know, when people are reacting to you, it's not about you. It's actually about their perception. And that was reinforced by the different people looking at me and giving me encouraging looks from around the table. So that was one thing. But then when this lady changed her tune and she was suddenly engaging with me, well, then I had a choice because I could have given her the cold shoulder, which is what she'd done for me all evening. And I'd had this email chain a few years earlier that I'd seen of a colleague, and she had gone sort of her thinking. They were invited to our housewarming, and it had the pros and cons. they went through the pros and cons as a couple of who they thought would be there. It was they in their mind coming to our house was a networking opportunity, and they who could this person be there? Could we network with them? What's the chances of these ones being there? And they were like, you know, really, really candid with each other. And I think they might have said that they would come and they didn't turn up in the end anyway. But like at the time I was absolutely horrified at the fact that they were considering our housewarming to be a networking opportunity, I guess. But it was a real eye-opener for me to realise that people do think that way. It's like, well, okay, so obviously for them it wasn't, it was more of a work connection than a friendship as such. And so I just remembered that when I was dealing with this lady at the dinner, and I went, you know, she's just like this other person. She actually is completely operating on pros and cons. And before I was all cons, but suddenly she's found some pros.
I love it.
And she's just like, ah, okay, now I'm ready to engage. And so I could have ignored her. It was slightly tempting.
I would have been so tempted.
But actually I went, you know, she just thinks differently from me. And so I just, you know, she was like, oh my goodness, and asking me all these questions. And so I just answered and just had a conversation. I didn't try and shut her out and make her feel bad or, you know, anything like that. I just did life as, you know, she's just a person. And, yeah, she had this moment that she just didn't realise some stuff. But I then proceeded to just have a, you know, like you meet somebody at a table at a random function and you just chat to them. It's just a thing.
Yeah. We were chatting off air and I was talking about awkward moments. I guess for me, I'm probably a bit more harsh than you, Denise. Well, I don't know, but I guess I might react by first off not talking to the person, probably ignoring them. Yeah, it's a hard one because I haven't been in that position to know that kind of sense of power, I guess. But I've certainly been around people who hold a sense of power and been in their presence, you know. And yeah, I can think of quite a few times, actually, where I've been somewhere and I know that the person in front of me knows it probably a lot more than me or is more academic or, you know, knows the subject material more.
Right.
And I feel, and I've felt quite threatened, I guess, to have a conversation with them because I feel like I can't stay on the same level as them. Yeah, so that can be off-putting, I guess, in you know, where we step out and engage with people we feel like are beyond us. And so I haven't really discovered that when I haven't pushed myself enough because I'm thinking the environments that I were in are long gone now, you know, that I was in where I felt like I wanted to engage with somebody that seemed just like on a different level than me.
Yeah.
And because of that, I didn't, which was so, you know, you miss conversation or you miss connection, but it's almost like I had a lower view of me. They probably didn't.
Right, yes.
They didn't know me from anything.
Exactly.
Just a person in the crowd.
Yeah.
But my perception was they were far too, you know, greater than me to engage with me. And so it was my opinion of myself that probably stopped that engagement.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think, I mean, some people can have, you know, they might have quite a position of influence and hold that. And, you know those people because people will say about them, oh, they're really down to earth. But then you have other people who have those same sorts of positions of influence and they're arrogant with it.
Yeah.
And they hold themselves aloof and they look down their nose. And when I see people like that, I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't really have a lot of time for that.
No, it's an awkward one, but awkward moments or, you know, where we get those uncomfortable moments, sometimes those are really healthy for us to not avoid the awkwardness but step into it. Because it's when we step into that awkward place that we actually learn either something more about ourselves. Or we learn more about the situation that we're facing and what am I afraid of, what's shutting me down.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're willing to go there. most of us, I think, tend to avoid. We do a lot of avoiding. We just avoid. We don't want to deal with it. We just avoid. We go the other direction. Yeah. Moving on.
I'd probably be in that category.
Yeah, well, most of us are because, you know, we don't kind of grow up with the idea of self-development. We look at everyone else to do their development, but we don't tend to look at ourselves as self-developing. And so probably where I come from and the bit of training I've had has helped me to be more available to look at myself, like available to me, not afraid to go to those hard places where, why do I react like that? Or why do I feel like that?
Yeah.
Or why do I shut down? And what am I afraid of?
Well, the thing is, everybody's just a person.
So when
you start putting somebody on a pedestal or whatever, that you know that something's out of kilter somewhere with your perception of them or whatever, because they're just people.
Yeah, that's a hard one to grasp when you have a, I think when you have a view of yourself that is lesser than everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everyone else knows so much more than you do. And I guess when you have an opinion like that too, everything in life will agree with that.
Mm.
You know, it'll kind of start to show like that too. Everyone else knows.
Well, you look for evidence of what you already think. So if you already think that everybody looks down on you, well, then you're going to, if somebody gives you a funny look, you're going to go, see?
Yeah, I knew that.
But that person might have actually just had a really bad day and they just looked across. Maybe it's just their resting face, you know.
That's why I encourage us to be in the awkwardness, sit in the awkwardness or those awkward spaces that we have, even in conversations sometimes, you know, when things can get a little bit awkward or weird or I don't know what to do here. My encouragement is to test new ground. Don't run away. Don't avoid. Actually just stay. See what happens. Be curious and be interested. Like, I'm curious to see what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Or I'm interested in what's happening for me. You know, because that will tell us so much more about the situation and why we're afraid or why we're shutting down than turning and walking away and keeping the opinion we might have always had. So, yeah, awkward moments, awkward spaces, awkward conversations, they're where we learn things. So we're going to head into a bit of, tunes to Sidewalk Prophets, something different.
Maybe a remedy, some kind of relief. And they'd be like, ooh, ah, look at them go. What do they know that I don't know? Ooh, ah, every move we make. Don't you know they can't help but see and say, from the dark, so it's so real, so right. Maybe like, I think I need it in my life. Ooh, I stop and ask, what do you have that I don't have? You never know. It's a feeling like being home. It's always knowing that you're never alone. It's a shock to your sleeping soul. It's a love like you never know.
It's something different, something different.
Something different, Sidewalk Prophets.
You were talking about the awkward.
Yes, I guess I can only, as I always do, only come from my own experience. I've never liked awkwardness. Awkwardness always makes me close down and want to run a mile. I feel embarrassed, I think, in awkward situations. I always feel like it's me that I'm causing the awkwardness. And there might be still residue in me that kind of feels like that at times, but not really. I have a lot of fun with awkwardness these days, Denise. I'm not frightened like I used to be and run and hide. Now I tend to stand my ground and go, and I do tend to find it quite exciting.
Yeah.
when I come to the awkward moments, because I do have that mindset of, I wonder what's going to happen here. And I don't feel like I have to fill the space.
Yeah.
Like I can leave it because I'm feeling awkward, you're feeling awkward, we are so feeling awkward right now. who's gonna do something?
Sometimes when we have people over for dinner, we end up asking awkward, think of what the questions are, but like – both my husband and I, we just like to put the conversation in that awkward place, but never too confrontational, just uncomfortable.
I think it's our learning curve, because I've said it before, we can often be listening to have a reply. You know, we've already got our reply set. If we don't have a reply, now what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do here?
We have that on the radio most weeks.
We do, actually. Don't tell them that, Denise.
Oh, sorry. This is all highly organised and planned.
We're supposed to come across like, this has been written out. No, it is all ad lib. Mistakes and all. You know, this is live radio, and I can guarantee you that not everything I say on here you'll like, and not everything Denise says you will like. But that's not what it's about. If it was about that, then we'd be all just pretending at the end of the day. We'd be a bit like that lady, just trying to get what we want and what we need, but actually learning nothing new.
Yeah.
And even in awkward conversations that make us feel uncomfortable, or might be cultural, it might be money, it could be status, it could be Christianity, it could be any spiritual. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many things that can cause us to go, ugh.
Actually, we were talking the other day about words. So, like, you're talking about Christian. I was reading something the other day by somebody who said, I don't like to call myself Christian. I like to call myself a follower of Jesus or a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the power of words, like our word choice is actually a biggie.
It is. Yeah, I'm a biggie on this one. And all I can do is encourage other people is to listen to your language or listen to the words you use in conversation. Sometimes it's really healthy to find new language or find a new way to say that, it brings a different outcome.
Mm.
It's a bit like saying, you know, when saying, "Well, I'm sorry," you know, and then moving on, and we've kind of put a full stop there. We've done our bit, you know, and there we go. We've been released.
Yes,
you know, but actually, you know, when we say something like, "Do you forgive me for?" and you name what you did. Wow, that's taking responsibility. You've actually named what it is that you know that you didn't do well.
Yeah.
And you're taking that on. You're going, yeah, I own that. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It will bring a totally different outcome and a totally different way that we engage with people when we say, you know, do you forgive me for... I don't know what it might. I can't even think of anything right now, Denise, because I've been such a good girl.
Oh, well done. I can think of something straight off the bat.
Don't you go dumping me in it.
No, I had someone contact me yesterday to let me know something that I'd done and that hadn't worked out very well. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness. So I actually had one of those nights last night where I think my body slept, but my mind was just like...
Yeah, and that's what it does, eh?
Yeah.
It plays on us.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Oh, you poor thing. How did you work through it?
I'm still working through it.
How can I help? Can I do anything? We're going to go off here. We're going to do a counselling session right now.
No, it's fine. But it is. You just kind of get that sick feeling. The thought of having somebody that, you know... He took a few days to respond to an email that I sent him because he was trying to figure out how to say it. And I was just like, oh. So this poor guy has been mulling this over for several days. And I'm like, he had a lot going on. He really didn't need to be thinking about me and my blunder. So I'm just like, oh, felt a bit stink. But anyway, life goes on. And hopefully something good will come out of it.
Yeah, words have an impact. We can open conversations up. Or we can close them down. And even in our faith-based walk, there's many conversations a lot of us will stay away from because we know, you know, it causes upset or, you know, it's hard to actually talk about it without running each other down or trying to prove a point, I guess. And, you know, we can agree to disagree. We can actually be... engaging with another person in conversation without coming to a battlefield.
Mm.
I wish our leaders in our country would adhere to that kind of advice because all I seem to hear in government are like bratty little children in the playground trying to fight and get their voices heard instead of, you know, perhaps looking at a situation and trying to find the common ground that we may hold.
I think it's because of the way that it's set up. Like, you know, like you've got government and the opposition. So you've got opposition mindset that you feel like you have to be trying to poke holes in the other person's argument or looking for flaws in the way they do things because you're supposed to be the opposition.
Mm. I agree. That language right there sets the scene.
Mm.
When I don't understand why everyone has to be in opposition.
Well, it might have been back in the day when you had first past the post where it was this winner or this winner, but actually a lot of the parties have to work together.
Yeah.
And so you would think that you would come up with a bit more of a positive framework to talk about it.
To engage at that wider level so it's not just sitting in government like a whole lot of arguments happening, but, you know, out in the real world that they're actually working together to make things better.
Mm.
You know, like we do in family, hopefully. We try to, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, let's get into another song and we'll see where we're going to go.
Just to know you haven't lied to at some point or place. Well, I can relate. And you're wondering if it's worth it. Heartbroken, feeling worthless. So the hurt is too great. Like a punch in the face. But don't forget we got something else in common. Maybe
get pushed down, we get beat up. So our freight line's gonna keep us up against the ropes. But hang on, there's hope. Cause if Christ is inside us, it won't be a fair fight. Cause deep down we know. Stopping us, he's not done with us. We are more than conquerors. Ain't no stopping us, he's not done with us. We are more.
Amen to that. We are more than conquerors in many ways. And I guess if we can start with ourselves, that's a good place to start. You know, you don't want to conquer yourself, but maybe to discover new ground would be a good thing. And one way to do that is to check in with yourself, like, you know, how are you going? How's your thinking life? How's your speaking life? How's life in general, really?
Mm.
You know, but in talking about that, where are we? I've got Denise. She is going overseas. I'm not happy about this, but I guess, you know, I haven't got much
You'll
say in
it. You'll let me go?
Husband's not going to tell me. I can't have a say in this, can I? And she's going away on an amazing journey. And she's told me about some of her journeys. They are pilgrimages that she walks on. And I'm very interested in this. I think it's a wonderful way to journey around and see places and get to know yourself and other people. But tell me, Denise, where are you going and why?
I'm going, well, primarily I'm going the first bit. The walk is the second part, but the first part is my mum's turning 80 near the end of this year. And so last spring my sister called me and said, I'm going to take mum on a trip for her 80th. Do you want to come? I was like, yep. Not where, when, how long. those are not my first questions. But
that's cool.
So mum has done her ancestry stuff and she wants to go back to the UK and kind of see some places knowing the connection of how her family was involved and how things played out there. And so we will go to some of those places. And yeah.
So what's some of the places you're going to?
Well, we're going to go down through Ireland. So we've got 6 days driving down through Ireland. My cousin's actually meeting us over there and they've all met some of our, you know, long-lost relatives that are generations removed. I've never met any family from there, so we're going to go and visit
some relations, but also we'll go and do some of the touristy stuff as well. Mm. And down near the bottom, we've got Kilkenny Castle, which is a family castle. So we're going to go there.
Hey, I'm Scottish. You didn't know that, did you? No. I'm a Watts. I used to play in a pipe band. My dad was a piper. I was a side drummer.
Oh, interesting.
My brother was a piper. Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, the Ireland connection is.
I'll carry a
stronger
suitcase.
Through my dad's line, but my mum's more the Scottish. But she was really surprised with that because she didn't. The thing with mum is she didn't know her heritage until she was in her 70s. She only knew her mum. She didn't know her dad's family. So now that she's learnt all this information, she wants to go. And so, yeah, so we're going to be going to the Edinburgh Tattoo and going up into the Highlands, which will be really cool.
We used to have the small one over here. I remember going to as a kid with my family.
Yeah,
up in Auckland. It was a small version of that.
Oh.
Yeah, just slight memories. I obviously don't have it anymore.
Yeah, it was interesting because I went to Riverdance earlier this year in Sydney,
and that would have been amazing.
I didn't know Riverdance, and it actually has this thing that. Wherever people from Ireland immigrate throughout the world, if you get to go back to Ireland, there's a real connection. So I'm quite fascinated to find out what that feels like. I can remember when I first landed in London when I was 19. I don't know whether it was because of Monopoly or whether it was because of DNA stuff that I just really felt connected to the land. I don't know if it was because I went down Paul Mall and saw Park Lane and
how cold.
But it was amazing. King's Cross Station and all those sorts of things. It's just like, wow. But there is that connection. And so, so I'm looking forward to just going and exploring and finding out the connections that we do have there. And then my mum and my sister come home and I start walking. So we're going to go, the last place I'm going to go with my mum and sister is Canterbury Cathedral. And when they said that, I went, oh, there's a pilgrimage that starts there. So it's a really long pilgrimage. It's Canterbury Cathedral to Rome. So it's 2,000 km. So we're not going to do the whole thing. Because you have to climb over the Swiss Alps and it's going to be snowed in by the time we get that far along. So actually, I'm just going to walk from Canterbury Cathedral down to Dover. So that will be 30 km. Hope to do that in one day. And then catch the ferry across to Calais the next day and basically walk parallel with the border. So sort of on a diagonal down through France till we're about halfway, two-thirds of the way across. And my husband is going to come. He actually flies into London the day I start walking, so he's going to have to chase me down. So within 2, 3, 4 days, he would have caught me up. And then, we're walking together for about 5 weeks before we come home.
Okay. So I'm thinking, what are you going to do for 5 weeks of walking, Denise? Like,
well, last
what is
time
all
we took
about?
8 weeks. So.
What do you do?
It's really great because you just have headspace. So there are some people who walk and they put in podcasts. Sometimes we'll chat to each other, but sometimes we won't. And when you're in each other's space in a place where other people don't necessarily speak your language, sometimes you get a bit over talking to the same person over and over. But I just love the the routine of it. You just, you get up, get out, get walking. I need breaks. As I walk, if I sit and have a good old half-hour rest, then I'm good to go again. Last time we walked anywhere from, our shortest day was 9 km, but more often it was sort of 20 to 25 was our average. I think my longest was actually 42.5 km on my very last day. I never thought I'd walk a marathon, but I did that.
Yeah, that's Yeah, that's quite some miles there.
Yeah,
well done, girl.
My body was in shock after that.
I was shocked hearing you did that. I'm like, how do I answer that?
I walked 20 km to this town, and I got to the town at lunchtime, 12 o'clock. I stopped and had some lunch, and then I had to get, because of this, with the pilgrimage, you have a pilgrim's passport, and you have to get stamps in particular places, and this particular one, I had to get a stamp in this town and a stamp in this town, but they're right next to each other. So I walked along and I thought, I'll just have a coffee here because then I can get a stamp for the town too. But it turns out I wasn't quite far enough, so I was still in the town one. So I'm just like, oh, my goodness. So I ended up, then I walked along and found this church that was open. So I went in there to get a stamp for town two. And now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon And I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good. So I walked up this hill and I could see the lighthouse, which was the end of the pilgrimage. And it was still 20 k's away, but I was like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I reckon I can do that. So off I went and,
wow,
my goodness, got to the end of the world. And wow, it's called Finisterre, which means end of the earth. End of the earth. End of
how
the
do you know it's the end of the world there?
Because it's the end of Europe. You kind of, you hit the Atlantic Ocean and you can't go any further.
Wow.
So
yeah, I'm pretty naive when it comes to the world. I never did well in geography. Is that
no,
what it was called?
I was terrible at
terrible,
geography.
Terrible.
Unless I've been to places, I'm not very good
yeah,
at it. But yeah.
Yeah, I look at the globe and I just am fascinated by this world that we live on.
Mm.
It's incredible. I'm never going to see parts of it, but I'm sure people aren't going to see the parts that I see too. That's just
yeah,
the world we live on. It's massive, isn't it? And you're going to go, and I'm going to miss Denise. And yeah, I'm used to having her on here now, and we just kind of fly off the whatever.
Fly off the handle.
No, it's not the word I was looking for, but I was meaning that we don't think about what we're going to talk about, really.
We wing it.
There we go. She got the word for me. So I'm going to try and bring Denise in on some of Faith Matters over those 3 months while she's journeying around, and hopefully to hear what it's like for her and what she's been experiencing, and maybe even some of those awkward moments where you've learned something new.
Oh, man, I'm sure that, you know, when there's so many times when you're travelling that you get put in this situation you'd never normally let yourself get into, and it's so uncomfortable. And it makes a great story afterwards, but in the moment,
that's
horrible.
There's truth talk right there. It's never comfortable being in the uncomfortable spaces, but we learn so much, eh? And we head out with a story about it. Like, that's what we get from it. And you would have missed all of that yumminess of life if you had avoided the awkward moment, you know. Jesus would have missed the woman at the well, which was totally impossible because he was set up to meet her. You know, it was what his whole life was about. But, you know, awkward moments, stop us from meeting people and engaging and maybe changing a whole life, or maybe even changing a whole town, Denise.
Yeah.
Who knows what we can do? That'd be amazing. but like I said, I am really going to miss Denise. I do intend to have some other people on here and some interviews and maybe some God chats around their experiences and what God has meant to them in their lives. But, yep, I'll be winging it. I don't know.
Sounds great.
We're going to go into, what Denise is going to experience when she goes overseas. Miracles by Colton Dixon. You might not meet him, but you will meet Miracles.
Miles on the highway, every day moving so fast, taking all the wrong ways out. Never saw you coming, stopping me in my tracks, keeping me from the long way down. Doesn't matter just how many times I tried, there could only be a single reason why. So tell me, some will say it's magic, but I know that you did all that. You're the reason, there's no doubt. Doesn't matter just how many times I tried, there could only be a single reason why. So tell me, out of miracles just happen like that, happen like that, happen like that. You can see the stars align, but I know that it's more than time. Just happened like that, right before I hit the ground, son. Oh, you came along and found me.
just happen like that, happen like that, happen like that. You can see the stars align, but I know that it's more than timing. I don't even go, just happen like that, happen like that, happen like that. Right before I hit the ground, so all you came along and found me. You can see the stars align, but I know that it's more than timing. Before I hit the ground, so all you came along and found me.
My best is still yet to come. Choked up, got me thinking back. Hold up, slow up, now I'm freaking out of my own thoughts, on the verge of sanity. Switching, switching styles, missing files, fix humanity. I've been down these roads and I've been tripping on these stones. I got terabytes of memories that terrify my soul. Wish I didn't lose some things I did, but I can't take them back now. Is it all too late for me? I'm slipping through these cracks now. But there's still breath in my lungs, and my heart still beats like a drum. They know they might think they have won. My best is still yet to come. Yeah. My best is still yet to come. My best is still yet to come. To come. To come. My best is still yet to come. I keep telling myself, one day I'm gonna have wealth. One day I'm gonna be somebody, yeah, I'm gonna better myself. Music, these metaphors, these stories, man, I'm fitting myself. Confidence like corny and they just wanna get rid of myself. Voices, 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 you know you'll never make it. Voices, 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 man, you ain't real, you're faking. I better go to your big farmer, they gon' grind me up some pixie dust. Get me tickets, fly for day to get that little pick me up. Yeah, but there's still breath in my lungs.
We're here, Denise. She's looking at me sideways.
Do
what
we
are
not?
We doing? What are we doing? What? Well, we're going to do our head out goodbyes and
so long, farewell,
auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. Oh my gosh, that's an old one. Yeah, no, look. If you are looking for somewhere to find out more about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, your faith journey, Christianity, you could join us at 10 a.m. Raglan Area School on Sunday. We have Peter Tate talking. He is bringing us more around the Romans series. It's going to be good. I've already looked at some of his scriptures that he's going to be bringing up, and it looks like it's going to be a goodie.
Great.
It's going to be great. So, and as the whole series has been, you know, it's been foundational stuff, the Book of Romans, really the foundations of our faith, and maybe we'll learn some new things on Sunday that we didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always hopeful. you want that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what comes from not... That's what comes from engaging, isn't it? Is that we do learn things when we engage with other people that don't always we don't always see eye to eye with, or that maybe be culturally different or spiritually different. You know, these are where we can have great conversations and not be afraid of them, because don't forget what Jesus did with the woman at the well, somebody who was totally foreign to him and not acceptable in the Jewish culture, so to speak. He wasn't worried about all that stuff.
No, exactly.
He went past all of that.
He knows that every person has value.
Amen. And that value not only changed one person's life, but changed a whole community. If you want to know more about that, you can look up The Woman in the Well. Or you could Google it.
John 4.
You see, Denise knows. That's why she's on here. She knows all those things I don't know. But I know the stories. I know some of them. Might always not always get them right, but they're certainly ingrained in me, and they're stories that I go to and I learn so much from.
Mm.
I really, really do. So many blessings to you, Denise. You and your husband on your travels. Safe travels, and may the conversations be deep and rich, and I'm looking forward to hearing your experiences. We will be unpacking them. So that's us, folks. If you if you want to join in with us on Sunday, you're welcome to come to Surfside, 10 a.m. Raglan Area School. Peter Tate talking on the Romans series. Got anything to say, Denise?
Yes, I have.
Oh,
before we head out, talking of on Sunday, there is a marriage course happening on Sunday evenings for the next few weeks. It's called Boost. So it's not, you know, there's going to be a whole
not
bunch.
Boot. It's boost, right? We're not booting them out. We're going to boost your marriage, not the other way around.
So, you know, it's for all couples. It's it doesn't matter whether or not you're in a challenging situation or actually whether you already get on great. There's going to be a whole range of ages of couples there and a whole lot of different people. So,
yeah, so that is Sunday night at Tiuku Church.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And if you want to get there for a coffee, you want to be there at 7:30. If you just want to come in and not have a coffee, that's fine too. You can be there at 7:45 and they will start on time. So it's hosted by Umberto and Jax. I know this couple, they're beautiful, beautiful couple. Got some rich, valuable insights into marriage and relationship and communication, and grace, I think, is a big part. That they give out to other people and understanding how to deal with difficult situations. Grace is a big part of that. So
yeah,
it's going to be, I imagine it will be a really great marriage boost. There we go.
Yeah,
great boost for your marriage.
That's what it says it is.
It is. So that's us, yeah.
And yeah, so hopefully I'll get to connect with you guys while I'm away. If I
she
do,
will.
It's going to be either 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. depending on which country I'm in. So you know, bear with a little bit.
I'll be on fire, and she'll be like, oh, yeah, try the other guy.
Or if I'm whispering at you because I'm trying not to wake up the other people who are around me.
We might have other people on too, Denise, on your travels. You may have somebody that wants to come on and
at 1 a.m.
At 1 a.m. for sure.
Absolutely.
And tune into Raglan Radio. Why not? In Aotearoa, New Zealand. No better place to be, Denise. No better place to
that
be
is
at
true.
All. So keep well, folks, and well, Faith Matters will be running next week at 12 till 1:30. Look forward to seeing you. Well, not seeing you, hearing you. That
look
was totally
forward
wrong.
To that.
Look forward to that. It was an awkward moment, and I got an answer. I look forward to that. See you then.
I've been running in circles, jumping the hurdles, getting caught in that rush of doing so much. I'm feeling kind of worn out. All this checking the boxes, trying to be flawless, has me spinning my head, catching my breath, too afraid to slow down. I tell myself to keep this up, that God wants more than just my love. But I've been complicating things, it's just like me to overthink. Gotta keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Will be found when love can be loud, cause love is what it's all about. I tell myself to keep this up, that all God wants is just my love. No more complicated things, no more need to overthink. Gotta keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Rescues hearts and changes lives. Love is all we need to make things right. Gotta keep it real simple.